Skype of Cthulhu presents Ripples from Carcosa, Heir to Carcosa.
Somebody want to give a recap? Catch us up? Catch Gary up?
No, it's horrible. We want to forget it. It's fake anyway.
They sit around to make plans. They don't work.
Lost connection.
Yeah, last week we finally did something, right? So.
Yeah, virtually, right?
Virtually, yeah.
we decided to go dreaming. What?
I said, I think we still haven't physically moved, but.
Right. Well, yeah. Some of us have. The ones who died virtually have been moving.
That's right.
Yeah, we went into the dreamland world of the computer brains, which seemed to be a bunch of kids from a grade school, public school, something or other. And while there, there was obviously riots, stuff was going crazy. We've lost two of the four who went in, leaving those who have no business being here. And there were some Biaki out front. I don't know that we know that that's what they were. And then inside was some kind of a Joker creature person that we eventually destroyed, or at least caused it to blink out. And I guess we're looking for the children in order to find the location of the asteroid, potentially, where the princess of the yellow sign is.
Does that catch you up, Gary? Everything clear?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Clear as mud for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's you and me, Vincent, who are out, right?
That's right. And actually, Martin, Gary's character, has been hooking us in. Probably he can plug himself in quickly.
Right. I don't know if there's an extra headset. That was sort of one of the issues. But yeah, he didn't go in. So it was. And Diana, the doctor, didn't go in.
Right.
It was, yeah. So Andrew and Damien are in still. And the other four are not.
We have four.
Two, three, four, five, six. Yeah, the other four, including the doctor.
Yep. Yeah, so Dr. Everett is wandering around the Gladius somewhere. Mr. Smith.
Providing the occasional hit point.
Yeah. Miss Voigt and Mr. Delgado are on the Tatterdemalion, right? And so when, Miss Voigt and Mr. Delgado came out of the VR, right? Almost simultaneously, right? The headsets kind of popped and exploded, and Mr. Smith was right there to help him out and get the headsets off before too much damage was done. Help them kind of shake their heads, stand up, clear their heads. A little quick first aid there from Dr. Everett. Leaving Mr. Gunn and Mr. Fisk still in the VR. So just to see if there's anything you guys want to do, let's start with Miss Voigt, Mr. Delgado, and Mr. Smith on the Tatterdemalion on the bridge with headsets.
Yeah, I think we should try to get one of these or both of these working again. Do you think, Martin, that you can do it?
Yes, just 2 seconds. Sorry, I've got to get the character sheet. I'm trying to find the character sheet.
Do you have any other thoughts, Vincent?
The job at hand is definitely getting back in, I think. But I'm a little bit worried about the doctor wandering around all by herself on this strange ship. Maybe I should go. No telling what's going to happen. We've already got two prisoners. Oh, but they're all alone on our ship, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm sure that won't cause any problems.
Exactly. So
I didn't realize we had prisoners.
Yeah, we took two from earlier. But don't worry, they're fine. They're locked up. But I guess the big question is, they're sedated. That's right. Want to be sedated? So I guess the big question is, can he get one or both or even three of these things up quickly, Jim?
Mr. Smith make a electrical repair roll?
Yes, I can make an electrical repair roll. Let's see. 18, so that's definitely a hard success.
So yes, it's going to take maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes to get one of them working again.
I look down at my watch, and I can contact them through it, right?
Yes, you can.
So I'll send through. Damien, Andrew, do you read me?
Do we read her?
Yes, you do.
Yes. Wow. Yes, you're all right. Good.
Yeah, we're okay. It's probably going to be at least 10 minutes, maybe more, before we can get back in at all.
How long have you been? How long has it been?
Like 2 minutes.
Huh. Okay. Because it's been like 20 minutes or 10 minutes or so at least, right? Inside the dreamland here?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll keep going. But this is great that we can communicate. You can help us.
I can try.
As we try to talk to people. Yeah. I think we're going to look for the kids still, if we can find them. We managed to dispatch that Joker character, the one that grabbed you and took you into the wall.
Oh, good job. Good job.
I don't know who else is here. What else is here?
Mm-hmm. All right.
But
well,
you and Vincent are fine. That's great.
We're good. All right. I don't want to distract you, but if you need something, we're here.
Can you dream stuff to us? No, you're not connected, right?
Not connected.
We're just talking?
That is
just
correct.
Just talking.
Okay. Thanks.
Right. And with that, let's cut back inside. Mr. Gunn, the unfortunately quiet Mr. Fisk.
Yeah, stunned.
Got his mind on his job.
Standing in the hallways of Public School 187.
Well, and he's the spokesperson, so that's doubly unfortunate. So I guess I will start by trying to listen. I know that Lola had said she thought, I don't remember why we think these are kindergartners, but we think they're kindergartners. And, oh, PH, 9 years old or something. We think they're low grade anyway. It would be on the lower floor, which we're on. So I'm going to start by trying to listen for the sound of children.
That sounds like a listen roll.
That's a 90, so I won't hear them unless they're loud.
You do not hear any
children. Hey, there's our buddy. And what is the what? Hey, Randall, you're just in time. Unless you're not really here.
I am. Yeah.
Awesome. Can you, Jim, describe? So we're in a typical hallway of a multi-story school building.
Right. So think about a kind of Midwestern East Coast kind of elementary school, right? A big kind of old stone building. Probably three stories high, kind of thick walls. You came in the front entrance, right? And so there's, a stairwell leading upstairs, and there are, hallways leading down each of the wings. I think we said there are three wings in total.
There's a C-shaped building.
Actually, an E, an E-shaped, okay. Echo-shaped.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, and then a hallway leading down kind of the center of each wing, with classrooms and or you know other rooms kind of on both sides of the hallway, right? So on either sides of the wing.
Yep.
And you know, so looking down the hallway, it's just a row of doors.
Are there any lights anywhere?
There are lights throughout the building. They are lit but flickering.
Okay.
The interior of the building does look a little bit like a war zone. You know, there's you know there's kind of banners and posters and stuff hung on the wall, but a lot of the you know the glass and on picture frames is busted and stuff is hanging down and you know papers are torn and ripped and scattered amongst the floor and there's kind of burn marks or scorch marks along many of the walls.
Is there like a basement? Say
the lights are working but flickering. There is a basement. There are stairs that go down.
Okay. Andrew, I think we should just run down the hall and open the doors and see if we can find these kids or head to the basement or what do you think? I know security might have sent people to the basement if there was trouble.
Mm.
He might be muted. There he is.
No, basement sounds good.
All right.
Where's the inside the virtual green
school? Right? Yeah, the two of us are in the virtual school. We have a radio contact with the folks back on the ship, and they are trying to fix some headsets so they can come back and join us virtually.
Cool. All right. So let's go down, I'll say.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, we'll head down into the basement and see if we can find any frightened children.
Okay. You head down into the basement. The basement is itself just a single hallway, right? So it's clearly not a basement that extends under the entire building.
Okay.
Yeah, there's, you know, a few doors, you know, labeled, you know, janitor.
Having your rain and lightning and stuff, and I thought we might have issues on my end, but it was your end.
Yeah, weird. So anyway, so yeah, the basement, you know, doesn't cover the whole building. It's just kind of a short hallway with doors for, you know, a janitor's closet, a boiler room, and a few storage rooms.
All right. Well, we'll search these rooms and see what happens.
Spot hidden roll and listen roll.
Okay. Listen roll is a hard, is a, an extreme success.
I fail both.
Okay. You do not find anyone down here. You do not hear anything except the sound of the occasional drip of water.
All right.
Sound of silence.
Let's head upstairs then, and let's first floor. I guess we may as well go. You know, we should stick together. But I think we're just gonna run basically and go door to door to door to door and open all the rooms.
Okay.
Unless the doors are open, in which case we can just look in.
The doors are not open. They're all closed. None of them are locked, though. So you can just, you know, open them and take a quick look in. Spot hidden rolls and listen rolls.
Wow, the same failed roll of 88 for spot hidden.
Nice.
But again, a hard success for listen.
Yeah, I get a critical success on the listen, which is a 1. And for the spot hidden, is I will burn a few points of luck to make it pass.
Really. Okay. So, you know, you're kind of pushing open doors, taking a look inside, giving a quick listen. When you get to room number 12, about halfway down the corridor, you push the door open. And you can hear from inside the room. The room is empty of people. You know, like the rest of the building, you know, some of the desks are overturned. There's scorch marks on the walls. Papers kind of torn and scattered around. You know, lights kind of flickering on and off. But you hear sobbing. The sound of someone, maybe multiple someone's, sobbing. Mr. Fisk, as you poke your head in the classroom, you just catch a hint of movement out of the corner of your eye, and you see that you're pretty sure there's a closet in the classroom, and you just saw the door move just a little bit, like someone had it open just a little bit and just pulled it shut.
Okay, so I'll you know, turn to
Damien.
To Damien, tell him, Porter. And I guess I will pull out my tandem. Actually, we have a shotgun, so we have.
I will, I'll say, let me cover you. If these are kids, it might be better to approach without guns. I can stay hidden and see if I can cover you.
Yes. Okay. So that's what I will do.
Okay, so I'll go find a place with cover where I can see the closet door, where I can cover it, but I'm not immediately obvious.
Okay. Stealth roll.
Okay. Sneak. Ooh, pass on sneak, just barely.
Nice. And Mr. Fisk, what are you doing?
I'm opening the door.
Okay. So you kind of cross the classroom, you just yank the door open.
Well, you know, slowly. I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to scare anyone inside. Hello? Okay. Who's there?
As you get close, you can definitely hear the sound of sobbing, crying softly from inside the closet. When you pull the door open, you look inside, and inside there are 7 children, 3 girls and 2 boys, and they're kind of all huddled together, you know, kind of packed into this closet, squatting down on the floor, kind of all hugging each other. And as soon as you open the door, they just start wailing hysterically. They're trembling, they're shaking, they're, you know, holding on to each other. You know, they're crying uncontrollably and just, you know, wailing.
Mm. No, I will, you know, raise both my hands and say, we are friends. We're here to help you. Don't cry. Don't be afraid. I will try to use my persuade.
How about psychology? Or psychoanalysis?
I'm going to send a quiet whispered message. I guess we have Dick Tracy watches or something.
Yep.
Saying that we found 7 kids, 3 boys, 4 girls.
That's what Miss White gave you, working with Dick Tracy watches. So that was her choice.
Okay. Excellent.
Sorry.
Oh, right. Of course. No, it's cool. Yeah. So, Andrew's trying to work with them. They're hysterical.
Yeah, and when I approach them and I say that, I kind of drop my gum with a one hand raise on my roll.
You rolled a 100 on your psychology?
Yes.
Wow. You hit him in the face? Calm down. Shut up. Stop screaming, kids.
Start slapping him around.
I come in peace, and my gun drops to the floor.
Yeah, they just start wailing even more, and just are you know, huddled together. If they're, you know, they're almost trying to press themselves through the wall at this point, right? They're, you know, pulling away from you.
Well, is there a way to bring people out of the dreaming, especially if they don't have bodies anymore?
No.
Can we move them?
I don't think they know that they're dreaming. They think they're in school.
I can think of two bodies that we might be able to pull a couple of kids into.
Yeah, but those are adult bodies. They won't know what to do. I think that would be worse.
Well, these kids are 100 years old, right?
Right, but they're still children.
I will, leave them there for a while so they can calm down a little bit, and I will speak to Gum, and I will, tell them to isolate them on our AI, on our virtual dreaming. Can we? We need to pull them out. The brains, we should be able to transfer them to our server. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, I see. Is this a kids' classroom?
Yes.
I'd like to search.
How about an idea roll?
I'd like to search it for some candy or some normal success on idea roll.
It's a kindergarten
classroom. Toys. Yeah, perfect. So maybe there's something at the teacher's desk, or search it for something that would be, a stuffed animal, flowers, whatever. Any sort of, innocent. Yeah.
Luck roll.
All right.
I sometimes so.
Oof! Do not succeed on luck.
You certainly find a bin of toys. But they're all kind of smashed and charred and melted and broken.
Yep. So, Andrew, what did you want me to do? Sorry, I didn't quite hear you.
No, just tell them to see if we can isolate their brains and move them into our...
Oh, you can talk to them. You've got a wristwatch, too.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So
yes.
When you said tell them, I thought you meant tell the kids, and I was like, I don't think they want to know this.
And so, okay. So if that is the case, then yes, I will communicate back to the chip, telling them to find a way to isolate the brains and move them into our virtual reality instead of this.
Well, we've got to calm them down and make sure they're not tainted. I mean. It was the plugging in of the play into the computer, into their AI.
Yeah.
They spaced the crew. You've got to gain their trust and find out. I mean, one of them cooked up that evil clown.
Can you send in Dr. Everett, do you think? Do you think she would be able to calm these kids? Maybe even bring some... sedative or?
Well, they're not. Dream them something.
Do you
think them something?
Blankets. She has a psychology of 65 and a psychoanalysis of 55.
Ooh.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna dream them a doctor that can actually do the work. I'll try to dream them a teddy bear with Lola's motivation here.
Guidance. Miss Voigt, would you make a dreaming roll?
I will. I hope. A 60. Ooh, I will spend the 7 luck to make that a success.
Mr. Gunn, you may have a bonus die on your dreaming roll.
Ooh, nice. Ooh, did not help.
It was a good idea.
I don't know. I guess I'm too distracted to make
Jim,
it work.
How close am I? How close am I to getting a hit to?
I was actually just about to go there. I think we can say you have one fixed. Repaired.
I've got one of these fixed. Lola, maybe you should go in and try to do the dreaming.
Or do we want to send the doctor so she can calm them down?
We got to get
calm. Yeah. Well, I'll work on another headset while you get the doctor. Or someone gets a doctor.
I think that Vincent went to go find her.
Yeah.
Oh, she's there with you.
Right. One thing that's important is somehow you've got to arrange for her to come here and not outside where she's going to get killed by those beasts out front. Can you do that?
We'll lock onto your signal.
Okay.
I'll reverse the polarity. Yes. Okay. So, okay. If she's here, then we'll put the headset on the doctor.
Okay.
And send her in.
Yep. Dr. Everett will join you in the VR. She'll kind of quickly take a look at the kids and kind of assess the situation and, you know, start talking to them in slow, soothing tones. Say that was an excellent idea, Mr. Gunn. Can we get some teddy bears, some kind of stuffed animals for each of the kids? That would be very helpful.
Yeah, I'll go. Andrew, you want to search or stay here? I can. I'll go solo. You stay here with the doctor. I'll go search the other classrooms and see if I can find something.
Give me another luck roll.
Okay. Oh, nope.
Can I make a luck roll, Jim?
Sure.
Okay. So 67, we see, which is, that is pass. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So yeah, you can, so, Mr. Fisk, you can eventually find a bin of stuffed animals that is not too badly damaged. I mean, they're not great. You know, they're a little waterlogged, a little singed in there on the edges, but they're not burned and charred beyond all recognition like the ones that Mr. Gunn was finding. So someone make a psychology or psychoanalysis roll for Dr. Everett, please.
05.
There you go. So yeah, it
failed buck rolls.
It takes some time. But Dr. Everett is kind of able to, especially with the help of the stuffed animals, to kind of slowly, soothe the children, calm them down, bring them out of the closet. As she works with each one in turn and gets them to stand up and take her hand and come out. A couple things happen. The children themselves, when they're, when you found them, are basically dressed in rags. You know, their clothes are old, they're dirty, they're wet, they're torn, they're absolutely filthy. Their hair is disheveled, they're dirty, and their eyes are red and puffy. But as Dr. Everett is able to calm them down and kind of bring them out into the light, the children are just absolutely transformed. Their hair is neat, they are clean, they are, instead of rags, they're wearing school uniforms that are, neat and pressed. And you can see the school around you as each of the kids kind of comes out in turn, is cleaned up and neater by degrees. So that by the time, she has the seventh one kind of calmed down and ordered, the school is bright and new and clean, and everything is hung up, and the desks are nice, neatly ordered, and everything is kind of put back together. And the kids kind of look at her and say, thank you, Miss Everett, thank you. And they look at they see Mr. Fisk, thank you so much for the stuffed animals. And Mr. Gunn, thank you for helping us. Where's teacher?
Welcome,
is teacher going to come see us?
If you want the teacher to, probably.
Oh, that would be wonderful. We liked the teacher when she was here earlier. She seemed nice.
They're referring to our pilot?
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, so we're only halfway there, right? We've sort of gotten them back to being happy school kids. Now we have to figure out how to get them to be a computer information source.
And not scare them.
And not scare them. What have you been studying here, kids?
Oh, we don't study so much. We fly the ship.
Oh, cool.
And we
really
take care of remembering things, and we do the jobs that the bad men tell us to.
Oh, well, I'm sorry there's bad men telling you to do things, but that's really cool that you get to fly a ship. Where have you been?
Oh, we've been to Earth, and we've been to the moon, and we've been to that scary place.
Oh, where was that scary place? There was an asteroid?
Yes. The bad men told us we had to go there, and then we got there, and many of the bad men left the ship, and then some came back, and then the real bad man made us read that scary story and made us draw a cartoon of it.
Yeah.
No, we didn't want to. They made us. We tried to make the bad men go away, but then they put the boogeyman in here to make us do it.
He's gone.
Yay! You saved us from the boogeyman and the bad man. Thank you.
Do you have the coordinates for where this asteroid was? We were going to go and destroy it and destroy the bad people there. Make sure you're safe.
Oh, yes, we can take you there.
Well, the ship isn't flying right now, so we're hoping you know the coordinates.
We know where it was, and
one of them
kind of cocks their head, and it's not all the children kind of talking at once, right? Make an idea roll.
Okay. Normal success.
After some conversation, it becomes pretty obvious that each of the children is kind of responsible for a different kind of primary function,
mm-hmm.
right? And so when it, you know, so, you know, there's one of them, one of the boys, is the one that's talking when you're, asking about coordinates, and he's responding and kind of telling you where things are, and, talking about, the engines and operation of the ship. It's a different one of the boys talking, and, it was one of the girls who was talking about making the, making a cartoon of the story, right? So it's pretty obvious that kind of each of the children, is responsible for a different part. So you're kind of carrying on this conversation with them as a whole, but every time, kind of depending on the specific subject, it's a different one of them talking.
Mm-hmm. Confusing, like talking to kids is. Okay, cool. Yeah, so I'll talk to the coordinate kid a little more and see what, and I'll try to get the radio open to back to the ship so that they can hear stuff, write stuff down, see if things make sense. Our navigator, pilot.
Okay.
We can send. No, we can't. I'm sorry. I was going to say we could send the information to teacher, but we can't seem to No, I'm sorry. We can write it down for you.
That would be great. Yeah, I think it may be that teacher has gone home for the day or something. I'm not sure.
Is she okay? We saw her fighting the bad things outside. I hope she's okay.
I hope so too.
One of them will, you know. So I'm sorry. What was it that you were actually asking?
Coordinates for the.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Yes. So, you know, one of them will kind of, you know, get up and go to a bin on the wall and take out a stack of papers and some pencils and a pencil, you know, and we'll start just writing down numbers on the paper just furiously.
Okay. I will read them out as they're being written to see if they make any sense at all to our navigator.
Your navigator can make a navigation roll.
Am I the navigator?
That's you, Miss White, yes.
I'm the pilot. That's a 2, so I think they probably do. Whatever.
Actually,
I'm running on.
Actually they don't.
No. I say then, that doesn't make any sense to me.
We might have to get the ship up and running then, and then.
Well, could I change places with the doctor, and maybe they could show me some way?
Can I get?
I can come out.
Can I get a computer use role from anyone?
Yep.
That's probably me if I can get in there.
You don't have to be in there. You're just listening to that.
Well, I got a 23, which is a success.
Perfect. I've got an 85. Maybe we can get a little better one together. Nope. That was an 81, so we go with the engineer.
Okay, so as the kid is writing and as Mr. Gunn is kind of reading it out, yeah, Miss Voigt, you're just like, this isn't anything navigational. I have no idea what these are, just random numbers. I have no clue. Mr. Smith, you, however, are able to pick up on that what the child is doing is writing out data, computer data, you know, effectively just writing out, you know, numerical, you know, binary computer data, the same kind of thing that would be transferred over a communication link if this computer were actually plugged into anything.
Okay, so maybe if we can input it straight into or connect them up to the navigation computer, maybe?
So that's what I was suggesting. The problem is that we cannot give them free access, right? We need to isolate them. So I was wondering if we separate a different server where we can create a virtual reality and let them plug in into that one.
Oh, could we possibly open a port to their navigation computer to get the information through, but leave it restricted access?
So we said that we didn't want to turn the computer back on, the main computer, because we don't know, you know, whatever this scary clown was, could be the main AI, and he's just using the kids to do kind of subroutines. So whatever that is can take over, I guess.
So you had, you know, completely disconnected, you know, the computer from, you know, from its shipboard interface. Mr. Smith, you think it's possible that you could reconnect, you know, at least the communication subsystem to the computer without reconnecting everything else? You're not 100% certain. And mechanically, yep. You know, I'll say that you can absolutely reconnect everything, right? That's easy. But it would take a hard electrical repair roll to only reconnect the communication subsystem.
You know,
yeah.
Before we try that, we should maybe ask them a little harder or a little more carefully about what happened when the ship started chopping people in half with doors and fighting with the rest of the crew. Because that happened a little while after everything was happening on the planet, right? They were already en route to their destination.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they sabotaged the ship, right? And I'm starting to think that actually the kids were the ones that did it. Because what they're saying that they didn't want to play it. They were forced to do it and all that. So,
yeah, we tried to fight against the bad men, but we were able to a little bit until they set the boogeyman on us.
That's the Punisher software. Remember
right.
An entry that there was a release the Punisher software. Yeah.
Right, I remember that.
So
I have another question. We're not taking the big ship with us, right? We're just going
to
fly our ship.
We had not planned to take the big ship because we didn't want the computer back up and running. But the issue I'm now seeing is that we're not going to be able to rescue these kids in any way without getting that ship up and running. It seems
that
ship is their life, right?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Yep. So.
Well, I think they only exist in the virtual dreaming now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that means in the ship. So if we knock the ship down, effectively we're killing them.
Yeah. So to Gary's point, because Gary the player probably wouldn't know this. Yeah. They don't just exist in the virtual dreaming, right? They exist as actual human brains that are plugged into the virtual dreaming. I think it was Mr. Gunn who had an idea, or no, I'm sorry, it was Mr. Fisk to, you know, can we transfer them to the Gladius? And the answer to that question is no. You know, it's pretty clear, you know, as Mr. Smith has been looking at it, that all of the, you know, the very dedicated specialized hardware that is keeping those brains alive and functioning, right? There's a lot of it. It, you know, occupies a lot of the ship. It's not technology that you're familiar with. So yeah, there's kind of Mr. Smith just kind of shakes his head at that and says, you know, there's no way that he can, you know, either replicate all that or, you know, somehow disconnect it and move it over to the Gladius.
And this doesn't have bearing on our immediate situation, but did I just make it up or did Mr. Fisk make an incredibly good roll and figure out that those brain tanks are Mego design? Did I just make that up or did he figure that out last time?
No one said that they are of Mego design. Mr. Fisk has heard stories of Mego doing similar things with human brains.
Okay.
So that was just an assumption on our part.
Yeah.
The Mego have the technology. What we were assuming is that these guys were also talking to the people on Earth.
Yeah, we know from our own negotiations that they're willing to make be duplicitous, right? Like when we got there, they said, oh, no, this isn't just, we made the deal for more, right? So they're certainly capable of double dealing in their own interests. So yeah, okay, sorry. Like I said, that's not necessarily on our own situation. I was just trying to remember for when we decide to bomb the Mego.
Well,
we're still having question, right? We can ask the kids, how are they actually moving from one place to the other? Because we don't know that. We don't know if they're just flying, because we didn't detect on the way to the asteroid. They just kind of showed up there from, you know, apparently from the moon. So we can ask them that right now. And I will just turn to them and ask them. So tell us something. How do you fly from the moon to the asteroid, this place where the Batman was? How do you do that?
Oh, we just power up the engine and it pushes us there. It's very strong. It's very fast. And the boy who's in charge the boy who's in charge of the engines starts rattling off some facts and figures, and you know, kind of technical jargon and detail, and you know the summary. You know, Mr. Smith can summarize by saying that yeah, the ship is, or the Tatterdemalion is definitely faster than the Gladius. You know, about a third, you know, a third to a half faster, right? So nearly twice as fast.
Mm-hmm. We need this technology.
Well, I'm confused here because, all right, so they're from the Earth, but supposedly the Earth has been taken over by outer beings.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But they're from there. They don't seem too creepy critters to me. Mm-hmm. We suspect that the Mego have something to do with their situation. The sure. Mego bargained for your genetic material, fools.
Well, it could be more distant than that, right? Because if they're under the kingship or whatever of these outer beings, then the technology could come indirectly. You know, maybe the Mego are under these outer beings too. You know, who knows what level of control they have and over what.
Mm. I think it's pretty key that the place we arrived was the moment when the outer beings were taking control, apparently, right? So that
no, what
probably,
do you mean?
Because it was in the middle of that big riot, right? And didn't we hear some
stuff
on the radio?
The riot seemed like it had happened for a while. Yeah, I mean, it had been going on. But yeah, it was during the riot.
Yeah, it was like a worldwide situation where everybody thought that they could fight, but there was a lot of showing that there was kind of fruitless. I mean, maybe
well,
that's just
like
my...
the kids were, right? They just made their world, right? Because they were upset and angry and stuff.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, we were put in here when we were taken. When our parents were killed. That was about 100 years ago.
Yeah.
There were horrible giant things coming down from the sky, and oh, it was so scary.
Hmm.
But I know that Mommy and Daddy, they're dead now. I don't know if they survived the things coming down from the sky, but that's when we were taken, and first everything was dark, and then we were in here, and we were in control of the ship.
Hmm.
Do you enjoy
where
your
the last
question?
Time... Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Got a quick question. Can I just set up so that we can talk without the kids hearing us?
Mr. Gunn and Mr. Fisk are standing there in the classroom with them. No.
Yeah. Okay. I do think
I'm happy to swap out with someone.
I do think we should get this data, and I can set it up so that we can get the data from the system without them getting access to the rest of the systems.
Is that
what
we've already
done? What are you waiting for?
He says confidently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Confident.
Now watch me roll 100. No, I get 30. So that is a hard success.
Okay. Yep. You can connect just the communication system. Miss Voigt, you see you know, data start coming into your navigation system.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of logs and information coming, and little notes saying, "We're glad you're okay, teacher." And so, yes, you get all sorts of data on an asteroid called Fragment. Its speed, its course, its rotation, its last recorded location, which was, you know, not that long ago. So you can absolutely plot a intercept course. And you would guess that in the Gladius, it will take you a little over 40 hours to get there.
What if we took their ship?
30 hours.
It would take you about half that time.
Could we put
the... They absolutely include, you know, kind of in their plots, right? How the Tatterdemalion would get there, and it will take around 25 hours.
Is the ship actually functional? Like, is it? We can definitely use their ship to get there.
If you plugged the computer back in, yes.
But there's always a chance that the computer will go crazy again.
Could we put the Gladius on like an autopilot to rendezvous with us when it was able to, if we did decide to take the Tatterdemalion?
I would imagine so.
All right, I'm ready to take the plunge. I'm ready to hook these apparently loving kids back to this ship and put the Gladius on a rendezvous course at its speed and go take care of this evil, evil daughter or sister.
What kind of weapons does the Tatterdemalion have?
Oh, we don't have any weapons.
Well,
did we see anything that looked like a gun on the outside of the ship? Maybe they just didn't give them.
Nope.
Didn't give them.
But we've got weapons, don't we?
I do believe they were not expecting to find more humans. You know,
the Gladius has got a rail gun. I wonder if they could make something. If one of the kids has got that capability.
Well, we can only make things in here. We can't make things out in the real world.
Right. I send them smiling notes back.
Will you come visit us sometime, teacher?
As soon as I can.
You're nice. We like you.
Aww.
I can see her saying that and kind of shaking her head side to side like, no.
So untrue. Well, do we have reason to believe that this yellow princess can leave the asteroid?
We have no clue.
No,
but she's out there, yeah. And the world is a place of evil.
It is.
And they went and got her. They went to get her once. Why won't they go and get her again?
Well, they went, but she didn't come with them. Why not?
No, they went to.
She was killing everybody that went down. They lost. We lost track of them. Did we think we think there may be actual factions was our speculation before. Like, she may not actually be interested in the same thing the Yellow King is interested in, but did we think there may be two of them as well?
What?
Two of the princesses? I'm going to read the captain's log again. It'll take a second.
Okay, yeah, there was something going on with some such.
Teacher?
Yes. Yes, sweetie.
You're from the floating rock cities, aren't you?
We are. You know about those.
Oh, there was something about the floating rock cities in the play that they made us in that the bad men made us translate.
Oh. What did they say about the floating rock cities?
We don't want to think about it. We don't want to think about it.
Okay. But they knew about the floating rock cities, and that's bad for the people who live on the floating rock cities. We want very much to save the floating rock cities from the bad men and from the bad things on the asteroid.
We can show you the play if you want to see it, but
we don't
want to watch it again. We're not going to watch it again. Please don't make us watch it again.
I will never ever make you watch it, promise.
Thank you, teacher.
I don't want to see it either. Who says censorship is a bad thing?
I have a quick question. So we have an alliance with who do we have an alliance with? It's some other races, right? Like the way back at the beginning.
The Yithians.
Yithians.
So there's three Yithians in the colonies.
All right.
Who were kind of the impetus for founding the colonies, because they're the ones that knew, we have to get the hell off Earth before the great old ones show up. Along with something on the nature of like 20 or 25 elder things, who were basically all the elder things that were on Earth at the time, who said, nope, we're out of here too. All right. So the colonies is maybe about 10,000 humans, a couple dozen elder things, and three Yithians.
Okay. So get this. This phrase on day 106 of their mission. The computer kids informed us that the hieroglyphs detailed the history of what happened in Yethil after it became absorbed by the blessed city Carcosa. I wonder if that's a Yithian city. It certainly sounds like something that might be there. I wonder if, I don't know, I just wonder if we can, if we have heard, or if there's no of any connection between that city and our Yithian friends.
Mythos rolls.
Yeah, we all have mythos.
Yeah, although not that much. Well, maybe. I don't know. Let me find it.
I don't ask kids.
It's been a long thousands of years. What is it?
Not me.
So, what is the other question that we had other than, how did it get, how did ship get there? Oh, I remember now. Do you think there are other ships like this, like the one that you're driving?
We haven't heard of any.
Okay.
Did anybody make their mythos roll?
No, I didn't.
I could burn 19 luck.
I don't have mythos, so no.
This could burn 19 lots, but maybe we should just ask as we speed away. Yeah, there you go. We can ask.
So I feel like we're going to take our ship because we have a gun. We can take two ships if we get the other one up and running. I don't know what the deal is if we leave these kids here. I mean, if we don't take this ship, then what? Are we just turn them back off somehow? Do we like destroy them? Do we?
Ah!
Right? Exactly.
Although I had that thought. I mean,
please don't let him destroy us, teacher.
No.
That was my thought actually as well.
Why don't we just take both ships? I mean, just because the Tatterdemalion goes faster doesn't mean it has to go that fast.
Right. We could go together.
We could take them together.
Our ship inside this ship?
No.
Okay.
Quick question, Jim. In terms of the path of the actual asteroid, where is it heading? The fragment, where is it heading? Can we calculate? Is it going to Earth?
There you have it, folks. I'm going to go take a railgun and shoot that asteroid into nothingness. That's my plan.
Do you think
I think that's a good plan.
Yeah, we can't fit the Gladius inside like the docking bay to the Tattered Million, but could we couple it to the outside with a rail gun, you know, pointing forward?
Duct tape them together.
Yeah. No. All right.
No. If you want to take both ships, you have to fly both ships.
All right. I mean, there's nothing wrong with both ships.
Will we need a pilot for this ship? That's what I was about to say.
We have kids. I mean, the kids can pilot the ship.
Yes, just tell us where you want to go. We'll take you there. We'll take the ship there.
Well, we want to go to destroy the fragment.
Oh, good. Oh, goody, goody. We'd love to go with you.
Well, let's take both ships.
Is there a reason to go faster that we can think of than the Gladius, you know, at full speed? Or do you think we should arrive with both ships?
I think we should arrive with both ships.
Yeah, well, we need our ship because it's gun. Yeah.
I agree. I agree with that approach. I believe right now that's our safest bet. And the other thing is that I was thinking, like, this technology
out of the dreamland.
Okay. Leaving just Mr. Fisk and Dr. Everett inside.
Well, for now,
Can I start preparing the systems for basically being able to reconnect, making sure everything's all right and up and running on their ship?
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, it's not even a problem. You're familiar enough with it now that you're certain you took it apart. You're certain you can reconnect it.
You guys, Excellent. Can you hear
me? Yes.
No. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So what I was saying is that maybe we should take both, and at the same time we can, you know, save the ship. That's what they wanted in the end, right? Mm-hmm. Technology is so advanced that we need to recover it.
We need to get them, the kids, to delete the play. Somehow.
Oh, I think they'll be happy to do that, won't you guys?
Well,
yeah.
Oh, we'll delete it if you're sure that you don't want to see it first. I mean, it is about the floating rock cities. But if you say to delete it, teacher, we'll delete it.
So I wonder if we should watch, you know, just one of us.
You guys are insane.
Yeah, no.
Have we learned nothing?
What about the
curiosity? Destroyed civilization.
Like, could destroy our civilization, you know, and it'll be just one of us watching it and, you know, just to understand what is going on.
Are you volunteering, Mr. Fisk?
There's a longer pause than I expected.
I will do it. As long as I'm put on a cell in our ship.
Strapped down. Could we trust you after you've done that, though?
I will say no. We'll have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah. You know what I'm wondering? I just had the thought, the railgun's nice, but I wonder if we couldn't use this whole ship as a weapon. If we can unplug the kids and kind of...
We can't.
What?
Kids are part of the ship.
Well, no, they're in brain jars. We could bring it
exactly.
over.
Yeah,
we
but
could
no,
use the Gladius as the weapon and keep the
ships
Tatum
are
alien.
What keep the brain jars alive.
Sorry, Steve. It's already been kind of realized. You know, you guys, there's too much equipment, and you know, you guys have kind of no clue how it works. You can't. There's no way you can get the brains out of the ship.
Yeah. So we could throw the Gladius at it and then return with this strange technology if we wanted to.
Or we could just try to railgun this thing. I think I can destroy an asteroid with railguns.
I would say railgun, and if it fails, then use the Gladius. I mean, I wouldn't get rid of our other ship.
Okay, pretty soon this ion storm is going to be over, too. What are we going to tell our bosses?
It's long over.
Oh, I'm not going to tell them anything.
Oh, yeah. Yep. The ion storm has dissipated.
All right.
We weren't worried because none of them were going to... That was one of the reasons we were worried about hooking the ship up, was that it might communicate with our... You know, that it might send a warning message, but hopefully we can tell the kids to not... send any communication.
No, we don't want to talk to the bad men if we don't have to.
They can't hear me anymore. I'm not there.
Okay.
Fair enough. Left.
We can show you the play if you want to see it, Mr. Fisk, but we won't watch it ourselves.
No, that's fine. I'm not asking you to watch it. Play for me, but I will have to be placed somewhere before we do that. So, guys, can you take me and put me on the cell?
Lock you up, bind you up, and so forth? Is that what you're sort of saying?
Yes.
Sure, I can do that.
All right, yeah, my physical body and yes, let's play that. Play that play.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, the others can certainly lock you in a room, tie you up, strap you down, whatever, and Mr. Smith can hook up a holographic emitter connected to the communications so that the play can be streamed to for you to watch. Sounds exciting.
And he's probably going to have to stay on the Tattered a Million, right?
No, can be on the Tattered a Million, could be on the Gladius, whatever you want.
I think we should just strap him to the outside of the ship.
Reasonable.
Strap him on the end of one of the barrels of the railgun.
I have to say, I'd rather not have him on our ship, because then, yes, he's got access to weaponry and stuff. If he does get crazy.
He's tied up. I'm going to stand right outside his cell, and I've got a gun, and I'll shoot him. No qualms.
Are you going to listen in or peek through the peek through the window? Or
heck no.
Okay, give me a second here. There's a handout involved. So, Mr. Fisk, first things first, you may have a +10 to your mythos and your Haster lore.
Oh. So that's 30 and 40. Okay.
And you may make a sanity roll.
Let's see. It is a pass.
You may lose a D6 sanity.
Six. Let me make an idea roll. 57 out of... It's a pass.
Okay, of course it is. So, yeah, you have a little bout of madness while you're watching it. Mr. Gunn from outside, you can, at some point... not long after it starts, you can hear Mr. Fisk start to sob and then kind of wail and then, kind of scream, make it stop, let me out, right? And just kind of lose it. He is able to, kind of get himself kind of calmed down after a few minutes. But you may have a handout. There's two parts. I had to split it into two parts. But here, that's the first part. That's the second part. There you go.
Okay. Steve, want to make the honor
of reading it? Sure.
Yes.
Is this like the equivalent of making me watch the play in real life? I'm going to station my kids right outside the door in case something goes wrong. Okay. The program begins with the royal family of Ythil cowering before the King in Yellow, avatar of the great old one Hastur. The images are very realistic. For the next 3 hours, you witness a horrifying creative work full of betrayal, intrigue, and horror. The story unfolds as thus. After claiming Ythil and absorbing it into Carcosa, the King in Yellow takes the insane Princess Camellia as a consort. She gives birth to 3 children sired by the great old one. There are 2 boys and a girl, which she names Thothut, Tassilok, and Tassilda. Camilla finds some small happiness raising her children amid the nightmarish Carcosa and serving as consort to the last king. As they become young adults, the princess's children take on many of the physical characteristics, inhuman powers, and sinister disposition of their father. The transformation is the final blow to Camellia's mind. Her heart stops and she dies from despair and grief. For a time, the royal trio live with their father in Carcosa, powerful evil beings serving their father, he who should not be named. But like their grandmother, uncle, and mother before them, the princess and princess of Carcosa start to whisper, squabble, and plot. The 3 have dreams of secession. Thothut, and Tassilok unwisely plot against their father, the King in Yellow. Tassilda is invited to her brother's plot, but refused to take part in it. She also does nothing to warn her father of the plot. Hastur, aware of the plot all along, easily avoided their traps, and in a way too horrible to describe, destroy Thothut and Tassilok. Tassilda is spared, but for doing nothing to warn her father, she is punished for this silent betrayal. She is forced to write out the story of what had happened on the walls of a home in Carcosa. Her father tells her, "Had you come to me with your desires, I would have given you the power to claim your own kingdoms. I would have made you great old ones as I am and given you cities as grand as Carcosa. But for your treachery, I now banish you. You will not have the power to free yourself, but when the stars are right, my faithful shall do so. If you then call upon me with humility and respect, as is fitting an heir to Carcosa, I will grant you all you desire. But to even remind you of your betrayal, the kingdom I will give you will be much like the prison I condemn you to now. A kingdom of cities encased in stone and floating in space shall be yours." She is then sealed in a crypt inside of her home. Hastur encases the building in stone and then hurled it into space. Thus ends the play.
That's us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't want her to get back.
But she will only gain this kingdom if she calls to her father in humility.
We can still destroy her. It's fine.
I think we should destroy her and the asteroid.
So after a while, I guess I kind of recover.
Yep.
From my bout of madness, and I kind of start sobbing, and I with well eyes, I will tell Gunn outside my cell, "We need to stop it. He wants to grant her access to our cities."
So there's one thing, Jim, I don't know if this would make it be made clear to Mr. Fisk as he watched it, or if maybe it's a typo, but it seems like Hastur is speaking to just Casilda when he says, "Had you come to me with your desires, I would have given you the power to claim your own kingdoms. I would have made you great old ones as I am." Does that sound like Hastur is many beings, or is that supposed to be him speaking to all his children?
No, it's him speaking to what's her name, Tisilda, right? But mm-hmm. after he's already destroyed Thothut and Tassilok, right? So the implication is, you know, speaking to you, the sister, if you and your brothers had come to me,
okay,
right, then I would have made you all great old ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one thing we can say is the faithful did free her, like Hester said would happen, but she destroyed them. Possibly she's mad at Daddy for what she did to him and her brothers before her and her mother, who
possibly
was kind to her.
Possibly she's just insane and violent, like all of the people connected to this story in this play.
Maybe the kids know what happened. Why don't we ask them? You haven't asked me what happened.
They don't want to talk about it. I don't understand why we're discussing this.
I think we should just go.
I am, I guess.
You are curious.
Yes, and I'm still, sitting there on myself.
Yes.
Yeah, it does say as they become young adults, the princess's children take on many of the physical characteristics, inhuman powers, and sinister disposition of her father, of their father. And that's talking about all three of them, I believe. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's evil, that's for sure, right?
Yes. Or mad and dangerous.
Or both.
Both.
Yes.
All those things.
So they've had 3 hours to sort of work on getting the ship put together, right?
Yep.
Yeah. The only thing that gives me pause is it said, Tisilda refused to take part in her brother's plot, but also does nothing to warn her father of the plot, which is probably what someone who had good intentions would do as well. Not that she does, but I mean, that gives me a little bit of pause.
No, she's playing both sides. You know, if he didn't lose, then she wouldn't get killed. She wouldn't get killed because with the brothers. And if the brothers won, then she would have been successful. So I think she was just playing. I'll start getting the ship ready for, as I said, so that we can fly.
Yep. Yeah, by the time the play is done, you can have everything reconnected and the kids all plugged back in.
I don't understand why she destroyed the people who came to set her free.
Violent, angry.
I'm just trying to ask myself this one question. I'm really, really leaning hard to you. I'm just like, the 1% thing is, what would someone in her position behave like if she only wanted to destroy her father after everything was done,
What has happened to anything connected to this story, to this play? Why did the people go mad? Why did the bard kill everybody? The bard killed everybody because he had a story to tell and he was angry, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't want to. He was sad about it, but he did it because that's what he does.
That bard was, I don't know. I don't know that the bard could do anything else. But I think we have a choice here. I don't know. But will we force her hand?
Here's one difference between this play and the other. Again, I'm just kind of conjectures pointing out the different stuff. Is apparently at the end of the performance of the first play, the king in tattered yellow rags is summoned, that he was, laying waste to all those people as well. At the end of this one, I mean, it has horrible consequences for the viewer, but nobody appears, right? It's like it's a history.
So there's something funny, and is that the kids disconnected the play before it finished. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that the play mentions the cities until the end.
Mentions the cities until the end?
Yes.
A kingdom of cities encased in stone and floating in space shall be yours. Yeah, so that's probably the asteroids that we are from that the kids.
Yeah, if you and just a quick check, I wouldn't take the way that the summary is laid out for us non-mad humans to comprehend and understand in a logical manner. I wouldn't take that to imply anything about kind of where or when information was released, you know, actually in the play itself, given its runtime. If you're thinking, well, how could the children know about the, you know, if you're thinking, how could the children know about the part about the Kingdom of Cities if the Kingdom of Cities wasn't until the end and the, you know, the kids turned it off, you know, halfway through, you know, I wouldn't make any assumption about that.
Well, they translated the play, so they knew what you would say before the play. They could have turned it off. We can ask them again instead of jumping into conclusions.
Yes.
So maybe someone can do that. Maybe you can. They seem to be very familiar with you, Lola.
What do you want me to ask them?
Why and when did they stop playing the play?
Okay.
Because it was scary.
It is scary, I'm sure. I won't watch it. I agree.
They made us watch it.
No, we're not going to make you watch it. We just we want to save the cities on the asteroids.
Are there nice people there like you?
There are.
Well, then we want that too.
All right. I think we're going to try to destroy the fragment. Let's go.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
As soon as she says that, those of you aboard the Tatterdemalion hear the engines spool up, lights start flashing, beep beep beep. You know, you can see on the bridge, you know, the heads up display on the glass there, you know, starts, you know, plotting a course, and the.
Oh, we have to go slow. We have to bring our other ship too.
Oh, okay. Sorry, teacher. We'll go slow so you can keep up.
That's okay.
And the Tatterdemalion, you know, turns and starts moving.
Did we ask them how they learned how to do all this stuff? I wonder if they have any knowledge of the Migo. Seeing as I'm at least so suspicious of them.
Yeah.
We've heard of the Migo, yes.
Do you know who saved you so long ago during the war?
Saved us. You mean who kidnapped us?
Well,
trapped
you, kidnapped you, yes. Do you know who did that?
It was people who were working for the creatures that came down out of the sky.
Mm.
They were rampaging all through the city, and they broke into the school, and they killed most of the children. But we fell asleep and we woke up here.
Well, let's go make those asteroids safe for other kids. I feel like I have
I'm
going to
stay.
Something.
Jim, I'm going to stay on board the Tattered Marillion to keep to make sure that the systems don't go haywire.
Okay.
I'm going to be rereading the and doing the practice drills for the railgun. I've got 40 hours. I can become a little better than I am was before.
Shall we eject the two zealots
prisoners
into space? Yeah.
No, because they have that space mead.
Oh, yeah. Well, we could drop them behind the engines.
Well, the cold doesn't hurt them. I don't know about the heat.
Or you could just shoot them in the head. I mean,
yeah, that works. Yeah.
And then kick them out.
Yeah. Breathe on this.
Okay, so you're underway. You're headed towards the asteroid. Mr. Gunn?
Yeah.
As you're starting to drill, you know, with the railgun, thinking, well, just blow it apart, right? Miss Voigt kind of sends you the details about the asteroid, and you realize that's not going to happen.
Okay.
The asteroid is kind of roughly oblong shape, about 17 by 12 by 10 kilometers.
Cool. Okay, so I need to target her and the wherever the prison was instead of. So I'll see what sort of data I can get on the from the kids or whatever on the location where the drilling, where the mining went down and all that. See if we can get some targets figured out here.
Can we just use the Gladius as a weapon?
That's the kids. You're killing the kids.
No. That's the Tattered Amalian.
Oh, sorry, the Gladius.
There's something that
I'd rather
big
not.
Crash
that's
into
our ship.
The Earth. Yeah, if something that large crashed into the Earth, it would probably, go
I mean,
way
if
of
we
the
don't
dinosaurs
have to.
Again.
I mean, I think that's a, if we don't come up with a better solution, of course we can do that. We will destroy this no matter what.
I think if
if we
fire warning shots that are ineffective, it will be harder perhaps.
Well, I'm not going to
just
fire
go ahead
warning
and,
shots.
I'm not saying that it would be you. I'm just saying that the effectiveness of the rail guns against, Princess Desilda might not be there. Do we just want to just go all in and go ahead and, crash the thing right into it?
If she can survive these guns, I don't know that hitting her with the ship is actually going to do much more.
So the kids will send teacher everything they have on the excavation and what the bad men were doing at the asteroid, right? So you kind of get a picture of the asteroid, right? It is huge. As I said, it's 17 kilometers long and 12 and 10 kilometers around, right? Kind of big egg in space. The they'll send you kind of pictures and data, so you can kind of put together. So what happened was the crew of the Tattered Amalian landed on the asteroid and began drilling, right? And drilled at least 3 or 4 kilometers into the asteroid. The kids don't know what was down there, but that was, that was what they did, right? They drilled a narrow shaft deep into the asteroid.
And that's sort of the end of the story, and then we know that the people went down there.
Yes.
And then
I'm sorry, the kids don't know anything physically about you know, what's at the end of that shaft or,
you know. So we might actually, how big is the shaft?
It is 3 meters across.
So Gladius won't fit down it. That was the question. Okay.
The log says there's the pyramids inside, right? They says there's pyramids inside, and what started happening was first the shuttle was destroyed, exploded, and then no one was able to be contacted, I think. That's what the log says. I don't know if the kids know. So, listen, here's, I don't know, again, I'm just trying to think this through from all sides. Is it worth the price to maybe send one or two of us down there to try to communicate with her? Because if she actually could end the stuff that's going on Earth, you know, so we wouldn't even have to fold space and time to get out of here. If there's a chance, is that worth, well, taking a chance to see if that's the case?
If the other people went crazy when they're down there, what's not to say that anybody we send down there is going to go crazy?
Oh, here's the deal. Crazy. Yeah, here's the deal. They were already crazy, right? They were zealots from the jump.
Right, but in none of our past lives has any contact with this play or anything about it brought anything but pain and death.
Well, that's what I mean. The first play. If there is a counter to that play, which is what this might be, mm-hmm. I might be willing to sacrifice my... If there's just a chance to end this play and everything that happened, no matter how slim it is, I might be willing to sacrifice myself to try for that chance so that no one else had to suffer. I've already given up generations of my kids to the Migos.
Makes total sense. Here's the thing, guys. Like, they didn't go crazy, right? And this is not the same play. Whatever happened on Earth, you know, it's basically what we know happened, you know, back in Rome, and what happened in Middle Ages. But it's just like they took over, right? So these people, as you know, you're saying, they're already crazy. So maybe we can get an ally, and I like that idea.
And you would be our, if you'd be willing to go with me, I mean, you'd be the speaker. That is your skill. You would definitely be helpful. Like I said, for that chance for an ally, I'd be willing to take it.
I agree. Jim, I've got a question. Could we rig up some sort of explosive device that they could take with them? So if it all goes wrong, go boom?
No. The one explosive device that you had on board the Gladius has already been expended.
Ah.
Yeah. Do we know how to brew the space mead? Or is there any space mead left over?
There is space mead on the Tatterdemalion, yes.
I was just thinking, if any fools want to go down to the asteroid, at least this way, you've got some life support.
That's true. That's true. Well, Mr. Fisk, is it our party or is anyone else willing to go?
So, like, I will say let's make this into a vote. So, I'm totally willing to go down with Mr. Dogato and find out, you know, if we can speak to this entity. And maybe you, sir. But now that I think of it, she is not an old one, right? And they're old ones back on Earth, including, you know, her father.
Right. What kind of power can she possibly have against them?
Agree.
Well,
agree.
her brothers tried to rise up for a reason, and it does say that she, where is it, had some of the powers from her father. She's been locked away for a long time, so.
But if she's been locked away, something's keeping her there. I mean, or if she was still that powerful, she would have escaped by now. She hasn't, which means she, I don't think she's as powerful as her father and the others.
Yeah, I don't know. I think any chance for an ally like this is, whether she's as powerful as her father or not, she's more powerful than anything we've got. Again, I don't know. I just think it's worth the risk. It's, you know, I've lived many times. I think that may be long enough. I've seen what this this thing can do, the other one.
For the vote, my vote's to destroy the asteroid.
So we don't think we can destroy the asteroid necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we ram the Gladius into it.
I don't even know if that will do it, but I'm happy to shoot down that hole and empty the railgun into the pyramid, into the hole there.
Would you be willing to wait and give me a little bit of time?
Oh, I'm happy to shoot you too. Yeah, absolutely.
I knew I could rely on you.
you'll need it. You will be happy.
Yeah.
You will bless the bullets.
Bless the whatever the rail gun shoots. Yeah.
Exactly.
The asteroid itself, its trajectory, is it coming closer to our colonies or?
It's headed to Earth.
It is headed to Earth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it will go past us.
Yes.
Could we just alter its course?
So, you know, you can, you know, run some simulations and do some math and some navigational stuff. And Mr. Gunn is right, right? The railgun isn't going to do anything, you know, meaningful to the asteroid. Ramming the Gladius into the asteroid will also not destroy the asteroid. It's too big. It's too dense. But it would certainly alter the course of the asteroid.
So we could knock it so that it heads out back into space rather than passing too close to Earth.
Idea rolls.
I have an idea.
So, you know, this asteroid, you know, was, you know, out floating in the Kuiper Belt, and now suddenly it's headed towards, it's, you know, headed into the solar system towards Earth. Right? Something caused it to start moving in that direction. So yes, the Gladius will absolutely knock it off course. That does not necessarily imply that whatever set it on this course to begin with, you know, can't, you know,
yeah, I mean,
be adjusted
they're
going
to send other people to rescue.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if the people are the ones who knocked it off course. I think Tisilda is either going to Earth to have it out with Daddy, or going to Earth to join him. I think it's one of the two things, which is the...
They're both bad.
Well, not if she's going to have it out with him. Like
yeah,
I
it
said,
is.
It's...
Have you seen when Titans fight each other?
Well...
What's left at the end of that?
Well, if they... Is Earth like, salvageable, right? I mean...
Yeah,
right
that's
now.
What I was going to say. Do we really care? Isn't it better that an asteroid destroys whatever is back on Earth, and we as humanity remain here in the solar system? I believe that's our best bet.
I mean, unfortunately, we've seen what's back on Earth. That's humanity. That's human, right? In fact, we have two of them before we jettison them. Yeah, two examples. So yeah, I don't say, know. Yeah, I'm willing to take the risk.
Say like let it go. You know, smash against Earth and destroy whatever humans, evil humans, still live there. They are slaves to the old ones. I don't mind. We should focus on you know,
on this rough chance that maybe these two things fight it out and we just sit around and do nothing.
Well, I think Mr. Fisk, this had a good point. Maybe she doesn't even have to fight it out. Maybe she just has to crash into the world, right?
Maybe. Maybe what? That's what I'm saying. You want us to just sit around and do nothing and hope that these beings help us out by destroying each other?
Maybe you can give me an hour or something, or Mr. Fisk and I, or
whatever. Oh, sure. Yeah.
And then blast us if we don't come up with something.
Yeah.
Now, you say that, but I'm not... even listening to you now, I'm not sure you're actually going to. But, yeah, I want to try.
What if, Jim, we crashed both ships into the asteroid?
Then you would alter its course that much more.
Okay.
And create two craters instead of one.
Two craters instead of one. All right. Maybe we just have to, you know, we had to kill Haster when he showed up in the Middle Ages. We weren't able to kill him. If we had been able to kill him in ancient Rome, would our next selves have suffered so?
I don't know.
That's a good point, too. Maybe we could kill her if she turns out. I wasn't thinking that was a possibility, but if we can take down, you know, the representation of her daddy, maybe we can take her down.
Just to make sure that it's clear, you guys were not fighting Haster. You guys were fighting the King in Yellow.
Right. One of his, yeah.
But that's Haster is her daddy, right?
Yes.
Okay. And the King in Yellow. I always get confused with those two.
Yes.
They're not the same, right?
Nope. The King in Yellow is but a humble servant before Haster.
Mm-hmm. So let's do that. Let's go ahead and let's go to the asteroid and let's talk to this Casilda and let's figure out what's going on and then let's decide what to do with the asteroid.
I don't know that we're going to get a lot of, oh, please, just wait here, Your Majesty, while we decide.
Fine. I'm sure Mr. Gunn will make a quick decision and take appropriate action without any discussion.
I might be okay with that.
Okay. So if there's nothing else in particular, 40 hours pass.
Oh, there is one thing.
Sorry, 22 hours pass. No, 40 hours, yeah, because you're
40 hours. We're
going at Gladius speed, yes, sorry.
Yep.
So I'm hurt pretty bad. How healthy can I get in 40 hours' time?
One more hit point? You can all have 2 hit points.
Oh. I like it.
Under the doctor's care for basically 2 days.
I mean, we sort of know what we know, right? Rolling on Haster lore, even if successful, will not help us predict the daughter's behavior, I assume.
You can make a Haster lore roll.
I'll make a Haster lore roll. Contemplating all this stuff, I will fail.
Yeah, I think our...
I got a 96.
Awesome.
Question for the last ditch effort, if we have to crash the ship, the Gladius, can I set up a system so that we can control the Gladius from the Tatterdemalion?
Yes.
Yep.
At least to control it enough to crash it? Yes.
Basically, yeah.
Yep, you can do that.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying I'll do that during our time going to the asteroid.
I got a pretty good roll on my Haster lore. I got a 34, but I just can't find where I wrote that stupid thing down.
I'm at 30.
Yeah, like I said, it's pretty close. I think I can burn enough luck, but and I think it's worth it, seeing as I'm betting my immortal soul, probably. Where the hell is
only if you have one.
Yeah, only if I have one, that's right. At least this life and all the lives after.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably over here. Haster lore is 30. So yeah, 30. So yeah, I think it's important enough to burn 4 luck.
Is it possible that she's going to come back to her father, hat in hand, as the play suggested that the father wanted? Absolutely. Is it possible that she's pissed off and is going to come back and do something? You figure whatever that something would be, you know, it clearly can't be some kind of frontal confrontation.
I keep thinking somebody's got daddy issues.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, and she's had a long time to think about it.
Yeah, I don't think she would. I really seriously don't think she would attack him, because that just, I mean, her brother's just got destroyed.
Yeah. So that sounds like we just figured out, and like you just said, like it's not going to be what she's planned. But like I said, I keep thinking that, yeah, she looks terrible, but if she wasn't, then she might behave exactly like she's behaving right now.
If somethings and somethings, then somebody's would ride.
That's true. Well, I don't know. My
if wishes were beggars?
If wishes were horses, then beggars would ride.
Wishes were horses, beggars would ride. But you know what? I have to say that I've had the same thought, Steve, that, you know, that she's in no control of the situation. She didn't decide to, you know, have worshippers break her out. She's been locked up here. She's probably PO'd beyond belief. That's why she killed everybody. That doesn't mean that she wants, the bit of the play says, you know, that if you call upon me with humility and as respect, mm-hmm. I will grant you all you desire.
Right.
So if she's attacked, will she then call upon her father? That, I think, is the thing that gives me pause.
Well, maybe,
let's face it, if she calls on her dad, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do against Haster.
Yeah.
And
question. If this asteroid suddenly has turned to go, maybe she is going to speak to her dad with humility, even if it's just to get her kingdom and her powers, to then backstab the father later on.
Oh, yeah. No.
We lose.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, there's no way humanity wins ever.
Yeah. As the point that I just
realized as Lola was speaking, we may not have a chance against her. Yeah, we definitely don't have a chance against Hassler, but it may be, you know, just useless to fight her as well. But if we did have her as an ally, if there's that chance, then I don't know. That'd be something, right? Maybe she could zip us out far away or something. I don't know what she could do.
What if we just left her alone?
And ran?
Not run. I don't know.
Either way, I've got to confront her, I think, because either we try our hardest to kill her and then die trying, or we try our hardest to get her to help us, because that'll be a good... I mean, she's going right past her homes. If she means his ill will, she's going to destroy all of our homes on the asteroid, right? Probably.
She's probably going to need servants.
There is also that possibility that she got mad with whoever got into the asteroid, you know, from this ship, because they were Hassler followers.
Right, right. That's what I mean. Every time I think about it, I think, you know, if she did have daddy issues and was out to get him again this time, how would she act differently, right? I mean, those guys showed up and they were Hassler worshippers. You know, if she, like, you know, were to wake up, she might kill everybody, right? And she might turn her asteroid around and try to do something to daddy, subtle or...
Yeah, you know, destroy yeah. Earth, you know. An asteroid is going to take us back to, you know, the Ice Age. So...
Yeah.
I'll say, let's go ahead and just keep on with the plan. Let's go with the Gladius. Let's talk to her, or try to talk to her. See what the whole fuss is about, and then, you know, figure out next steps from there.
Yeah, that's my vote.
All right. I don't know that we can assign human motivations to her.
Exactly.
It's true too.
But I will say, drink up some space mead, my friends. And put on your Dick Tracy watches.
Yeah. Can you get drunk on space mead?
Do you want to try?
Got the right name, yeah. One of my last acts, why not? I don't know if we brought any booze on the Gladius.
Oh, I'm sure there's
everyone.
Some.
Yeah, yeah.
Is somebody going to drink some of the space mead from the Tetradimalion?
I'll give it a go, sure. I mean, that sounds, rather than wearing a suit, that sounds reasonable.
Okay, make a sand roll.
Oh, of course. Of course. Oh, 07, no problem.
1 point of sand loss as you stop breathing and realize that you no longer need to. It's a bit weird.
Yeah.
I think you'll still need this. The space meat allows you to not breathe, but that doesn't mean that the absolute frigidity of space won't affect your body.
Take a swig.
Those guys were floating in a vacuum.
Take a swig. Yeah. Take a sweater.
Right, yeah. You know, it just occurred to me as a player, the only other time I've encountered space mead, my other character drank it for the same reason. See if she could get high or drunk.
Funny how
that was in the 80s game, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Lucy. Yeah.
I did the same, and I lost 1 point of sanity as well because I passed.
Cool. So you see, you know, as the 40 hours have passed, you can see the asteroid ahead of you. It is rotating as it's moving. It's spinning about an axis.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
So I was thinking that we should still take our helmets and all that, because otherwise we won't be able to communicate, Delgato.
Okay, sure. Why not? I mean, those guys probably had suits too, right? If she wants to speak directly to us, we can always pop her noggin off, pop the helmet off.
As you get a little closer, you can start doing some sensor sweeps of the asteroid, and sure enough, you find wreckage of a shuttle next to what appears to be some kind of camp.
Do we have a shuttle?
You do not.
Is there an extra shuttle on the Tatterdemalion?
There is not.
So we're probably not going to burn up in the atmosphere. This thing's too small to have one of those. Does it seem like we could kind of get ejected a little bit and ride down there without killing ourselves on the way?
Could we just land?
Fire out of the railgun?
Yeah, there you go.
yes, Miss Voigt, the Gladius, you know, can land in, you know, it's not designed to land on a high gravity object like a planet or something like that. It can land in a low gravity well, small moons and asteroids and things like that. It's not particularly easy. It's listed in the book under emergency maneuvers. So it's not something that you would do every day, but it certainly can be done.
Let's just land both ships.
We lose all ability to do anything if we land both ships.
All right, let's.
The Tatterdemalion can't land.
Okay, so then we have to land the Gladius.
Yeah, and
we want to land the people.
Well, that we want the Gladius to be pointing its railgun down the hole the whole time, right? So we lose that ability if we put it on the ground. I mean,
it depends how long you wait on the surface. But if we get trapped on the surface, then exactly.
We don't want to think that we are, you know, followers of the of her father. You know, that's probably what happened when she saw the yellow sign on the side of the ship. I don't know. So let's go and let's figure out if there's a way to communicate with this entity.
Well, what are we going to do? Are we going to land the Gladius? I mean, that's really what we're talking about now.
I mean, I don't believe we have to, right? We can just go there with our spacesuits and you know, try to move in that direction. I'm pretty sure that, you know, at this level of technology, if you want to work on the asteroids and, you know, you will have to be capable of moving from one to the other with some kind of
jetpack kind of thing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. What do you say, Jim?
So yes, the problem with that is that you guys might be in for a really long walk, right? Because the asteroid is spinning, you know, fast enough that you know, Miss Voigt would have to, you know, come into some kind of orbit for you to allow you guys to drop off, you know, at least marginally reasonably close, right? And then kind of be pulled in by gravity and, you know, use, you know, suit thrusters to try to navigate, and, you know, God only knows where you're going to come down.
All right.
So certainly doable. We have some expert pilots, it seems like, aside from our own pilot, but we have your kids.
Yeah, well, how about if we do basically do a drop, go through with the Gladius, drop them off by camp, and then basically bring the Gladius up. And if they're successful, they can let us know. If not, we can use a railgun.
You mean like open the doors and shove us out when we get close?
No, land and take off again.
Land and take off again.
Yeah.
Don't stay. Don't leave the Gladius on the asteroid.
Yeah, that was my thought. If we have to land you,
yeah,
just leave quickly.
Well, I'm down there no matter what. I'm ready to go. It's up to you guys how much you want to risk on the ship.
Well, I don't think we have any other way to get you down there. So that's.
Yeah. That's, okay.
if somebody's going down, that's the only way it can be happen. So.
Okay, Miss Voight, make a piloting roll.
Let's see, piloting. Yes, I do, by 1 point.
Nice. Yep. So you're able to land the Gladius next to the camp. It's not particularly easy, but you're able to get her down there. You can see that there is some mining equipment set up, and there are kind of three large kind of igloo-looking tents set around what appears to be a mine shaft.
Okay.
Take her back up.
Hi. Before or after Mr. Fisk and Mr. Delgado get out?
No, either way, it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah. could we investigate the mine camp just a little bit before we take off?
I would rather not, but of course.
We could do that before we go down and just radio back to you what we find. Up to you.
It probably doesn't matter. You guys poke around. All right, I pilot the ship away, taking a long last look at my friends.
So a very fond farewell wave.
Well, and see if you can get us so that we're locked into an orbit with the gun pointed down the.
So I'm sorry. So Mr. Fisk and Mr. Delgado get out, and then you take off. Is that?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. First, make another piloting roll.
Nope.
Uh-oh, that doesn't sound good.
Would you? I think roll me. Let me find. There's a table here. I think roll me a d6 is what we're looking for.
A 3.
That's a number.
I need to find. There it is. Okay. So you know, as you're taking off, you kind of miscompensate, and the those of you on the surface kind of see this. Obviously, right? The ship kind of rises up and starts to move in a direction and kind of crashes into and slides along a peak, some boulders on the surface of the asteroid. And those of you outside can see a gash torn in the side of the Gladius. Those of you inside the Gladius, you know, alarms start blaring and klaxons start sounding, and a number of emergency systems go off. And yes, there is a tear in the ship's hull. The kind of emergency protocols immediately activate, and those sections of the ship are sealed off.
Okay.
And then Miss Void is able to kind of right the ship and get it off the asteroid.
Sorry.
It's all right. Can you get us lined up for?
Yeah, I'll line it up.
For the shooting.
Let's, before we end for the night, let's go real quick to Mr. Fisk and Mr. Delgado. So you see that happen. You see the Gladius take off and kind of crash into some boulders, and the ship is dented and then kind of righted and lifts further into the air.
Ooh. Hope they're all right.
I just look at the ship and call him. Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Hang on. Make a luck roll.
Uh-oh. Debris.
Something more. It's a hard success.
I made a normal success, yeah.
Yep. Miss Voigt, you get that message, but there's a lot of static.
Yeah, I send back. We'll be okay. We'll be okay.
Mr. Fisk, you get about half of that message.
Crap.
Nice.
Well, at least they have the engineer.
I think we'll call it there for the evening.
All right.
This is a scenario that never ends. We talk it to death.
Isn't this made to be run at conventions? I mean, how many?
No, this is not a convention scenario.
All right.
Alrighty.
Lots of fun. Sorry about missing so many sessions.
Oh, no problem, man. It's just good to have you back.
Sorry you had to miss.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Okay. Cheers, everybody. Have a good night, all.